I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Well, it looks like Kenny Dillingham is set to stay in Arizona State. Not just a huge win for the Sun Devils, but also an enormous win for the Big 12 Conference. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us. We cover the Big 12. We're glad you're here joining the show. We're on all your social media platforms. We're on the website at heartlandcollegesports.com and right here, YouTube, the podcast, and more. Just make sure that you like the video and that you are subscribed. So let's just dive right into Kenny Dillingham right now. This would have been an enormous loss for the Big 12. And it would have been brutal in the wake of losing Matt Campbell to Penn State just a week or so ago. If you think about what this would have meant had the Big 12 lost two of their young stud coaches in back-to-back weeks to the Big 10, it would have been unfathomable. It would have been absolutely terrible for the perception of this league. Now, there's two ways to look at it. You could have said, well, it means the Big 12 has great coaches. It means the Big 12 has the kind of coaches that other teams want and blue bloods want. Yeah, that's great. But you know what? That also happens to the group of five. The Big 12 is not the AAC. And getting treated like the AAC would not have been good for the conference. Even if it was Penn State, even if it was Michigan, even if it was these teams who, yes, can just back up a truckload of money and put it right in your lap. But Kenny Dillingham, staying loyal, staying true to his alma mater, getting emotional on Saturday after practice when he talked about it, that was big time for the Big 12 Conference. And that meant a lot for Arizona State. So these two sides are now finalizing a new deal, is what came out on Saturday. As the Michigan rumors were swirling, there were some prominent people trying to push Kenny Dillingham towards Michigan and push Michigan towards Kenny Dillingham, and it looks like that is now a thing of the past. You saw how emotional this guy got when he was talking about this program, Arizona State in general, and what he thinks he can achieve. And Kenny Dillingham's in his mid-30s. Listen, those jobs will come up again. If he wants to take a stab at them, they'll come up again. They will. But you get one opportunity in this moment to build up your alma mater in a way that makes you an absolute legend. And it's right now. And I believe that's the conclusion that Kenny Dillingham came to here in all this. He decided, you know what? There will be time for that if and when I want to take that dive. In many ways, it's what Matt Campbell did. Matt Campbell's about 10 years older. He's in his mid-40s. And he finally decided after a decade, you know what? It's time to try something new. Kenny Dillingham's not close to that. And by the way, Kenny Dillingham, just by nature of being an alum, is going to have even more loyalty to Arizona State than Matt Campbell did at Iowa State. And there was great loyalty there. That's not a knock on Matt at all. It's just a reality of the situation. So this was a big time moment and big time development on Saturday for the Big 12, for Arizona State, and for Kenny Dillingham. And I'm so happy for everybody involved. Michigan could go pound sand. I mean, by the way, do you really want to go to Michigan in the wake of how they handled this Sharon Moore thing? I'm not sure I would. I don't know if that really appeals to me at all. I mean, you got to go in and fix that absolute utter mess of a situation between those two sides? Yeah, I'm good. I think I'll skip out on that. I don't know if I want to trust that administration right now in this moment. Do you? Would you? I think Kenny could go to Michigan and do well. But there are so many moving parts. There is mistrust. The way they handled the Sherrone Moore thing, reportedly knowing about it for weeks and waiting till signing day. I mean, that's stinky. There's a lot of things about this that just do not smell right and do not feel right. So Kenny's doing the right thing. It was a big day for the Big 12. It would have been an just terrible for this league to lose this coach a week after Matt Campbell goes to Penn State. So big wins, great job by everybody involved, and good stuff all around. So now let's dive into this Kyle Whittingham story. He steps down as the head coach of Utah, of course, just a couple of days ago. And then we find out that he may not actually be done. But what does that mean? His son coaches with the Kansas City Chiefs. He talked to the Salt Lake Tribune. Alex Whittingham is his name. And he said, quote, he still has that fire and that desire to do something in some capacity to help some team win. He didn't say Utah. He said some team. So this comes after The Athletic reports that Whittingham's not retiring and may pursue other coaching opportunities. Alex Whittingham said his father told him about his decision on Friday, and he doesn't know where the future is. Now, before that, the contract outlined a 5-year role as a special assistant to the university's athletics director that would pay Whittingham about $1 million a year. Under the new deal, Whittingham would be paid $3.5 million annually for a 2-year term as a special assistant. But could Kyle Whittingham actually end up somewhere else? Alex Whittingham said, quote, I'm not sure exactly what his next immediate step will be. When I conversed with him, he basically said, this is not going to be a full-on retirement. I think he still has that competitive fire. I still think that he wants to continue in some capacity. I don't know where, how, or when. That is strange. That is not what I would have expected from Kyle Whittingham with him stepping down. I figured he'd be a special assistant. I figured he'd be a guy that kind of hangs around the university. He's an ambassador. He's getting paid a nice chunk of change to kind of be a face for the program and transition into Morgan Scalley. But now you sit back and you say, who knows? What exactly does any of this look like for Kyle Whittingham? I don't know the answer. And I'm not sure anybody involved outside of Kyle Whittingham knows the answer. It feels like he was more or less moved out because of Utah's timeline. They wanted to kind of get on to Morgan Scalley. Now, this has been in place for about 18 months, right? Morgan's been the heir apparent to Whittingham since summer of 24. But no one really knew what that timeline was going to be. Some thought it might have been after last season, but last season didn't go as planned. You go 10-2 this year. Utah was one of the top three teams in the Big 12. They just happen to have to play BYU and Texas Tech, the two teams that were better than them this year in the Big 12. But they're a top 15 team in the country. There's no doubt about that in my mind. So did he want one more year? Did he want to give this thing a shot to try to win the Big 12 on his way out? I don't know. But when you've been somewhere for 20 years, this has been the plan. And then it's like, well, he may not be done. And it's not about Utah, and you're talking about maybe somewhere else. I don't see Kyle Whittingham at his age, 66, just like starting over as a head coach somewhere. I just don't see that. But then I also don't see him wanting to be like a defensive coordinator somewhere either, right? And if you're going to be a special assistant to somebody, why would you do it somewhere else unless there's now just bad blood between Whittingham and Utah? Because this is not how he wanted any of this to go down. I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm just saying this has not been a smooth couple of days for how Utah wanted to move on from Whittingham. And now you've got Whittingham and his son and multiple media reports out there saying he may not be done coaching and it may have nothing to do with Utah. That is not ideally how Utah would have had this thing go down. So just keep an eye on this and keep an eye on what it means, because I think it's one of those deals that we'll have to watch pretty closely. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Please like the video. Make sure that you are subscribed as well to the channel if you love Big 12 college football and college basketball. What's here coming up? But just a quick, speaking of drama, KU. So redshirt senior Gage Keyes' mom wrote on social media that the reason so many players are hitting the transfer portal is because of the team's general manager, Rob Ionello. Gage Keyes' mom, writing here on social media to Jayhawk Slant, "Everyone wants to blame coaches for kids leaving, but I'm here to tell you that Rob Ionello is the number one reason these kids are leaving. He continually lies to these kids, and honestly, I don't know how he sleeps at night. He is terrible for the program," she says. Well, tell me how you really feel. Wow. That is some drama in Lawrence. A mom calling the team GM a liar and terrible for the program. We all know that these teams are obviously set up much differently than just a few years ago. The GM's the guy who helps handle NIL, who helps handle the payments, everything else that goes on. I don't know what she's accusing him of lying about, whether it's money, playing time, accessibility, who the heck knows. But for Lance Leipold, now coming off a second straight season that comes in below expectations, even though KU has come a long way and I'm a big Leipold guy, I've been a fan of his for a long time. All right, what he's done to that program, I think KU fans are actually underappreciating the job Lance Leipold has done. KU fans are now mad they're not making bowl games when KU fans just wanted to win one Big 12 game, like a season, and they were happy a few years ago. Now it's like, we didn't get to a bowl game. Now I get it, you had Jalen Daniels. Last year was a disappointment. I understand all of that. But let's also kind of look at the big picture here and reset and understand where we've been to where you are today. And that's an important part of the conversation. However, when you've got accusations like this, this is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you for getting guys in from the portal. It's going to hurt you with guys obviously hitting the portal, which has happened plenty at KU. And when the parents don't care anymore and they're putting these guys on blast on social media, you do have a problem you've got to nip in the bud before it gets worse. So just something to watch there at KU as we look back on what was just a pretty busy couple of days on the football side, despite the fact that this is supposed to be kind of the quieter part of the football season before we get to bowl games and college football playoff and things like that. Big 12 basketball. You know, I want to spend some time there. It was a busy Saturday at Big 12 Hoops, and I would call it a mixed bag. That's what I would call it. So I look back on Saturday, and I was just, the start of the day was disappointing. The start of the day, you had Texas Tech losing to Arkansas, where especially in that second half, I mean, Tech's defense has not been great this year. They couldn't get a stop if their life depended on it. That second half, I mean, Arkansas just could not miss in that second half. I'm watching that game, and I'm like, can you give me one stop, please? Just one, that's all I'm looking for. One stop out of you guys. Couldn't do it. Trevon Brazil scored 18 of his 24 points after halftime as 17th-ranked Arkansas came back to beat Texas Tech 93-86. This was a rematch of last year's Sweet 16 matchup. So that was a disappointing game for Tech. Even though you had big games from JT Topp and he had a double-double, 30-11, and you know they put up 86 points, which you would have thought would have won the game. I think the over-under on the point total is like $1.57. So they obviously blasted past that. But Tech, you know, had a good crowd there. They're playing that game in Dallas. Obviously, a lot of Tech alum hanging out there, just like we saw at the Big 12 championship game in football a couple of weeks back. But this one, it was like, man, that second half, I'm like, can you get yourselves a stop? And it's been, you know, problematic on that side of the floor throughout the season so far for Texas Tech. So it's definitely something to watch here as we look ahead to league play. Tech's in the bottom half in points allowed per game, bottom half in opponent's three-point percentage. So they've got some work to do when it comes to that defense. That was disappointing. Oklahoma State losing to Oklahoma was disappointing. I know OU was a slight favorite in that game, but still, you know, when you get a shot at Bedlam, you're not going to get it in football. You want it in basketball. Big 12 trying to continue to defend its turf as the best basketball conference in America, which I believe it is. Maybe it's personal, too, because I want to see OSU beat OU, but I thought that was a missed opportunity for the Oklahoma State Cowboys in this game against Oklahoma. I didn't think OU played great, and Oklahoma, you know, withstood late flurries from Oklahoma State, but OSU never could get a real good, solid run going in that second half, even though they got it to within, what, 3-4 points with a minute 30, 2 minutes to go, but then never scored again. And that was a frustrating way to see this game end for the Pokes. You look at some of the other games, and it was, you know, Houston blows out New Orleans, BYU handles UC Riverside. Disappointing game for Cincinnati at Georgia. I was hoping to see that game be a little bit closer. But then, you know, you had Colorado beat UTSA. You had West Virginia blow a game against Ohio State. That was a major letdown. I mean, I was flipping back and forth. I was watching a lot of that game. And then I moved over to the Alabama-Arizona game because I thought West Virginia had this thing in the bag. So I was like, all right, I'll check out on the West Virginia game. I mean, they were up, what, 13 points, 14 points in the second half at one point. And then OSU just starts chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And before you know it, you go into overtime. John Mobley missed a three-pointer, actually. They missed 2 3-pointers in the final, what, 20 seconds. After Mobley made a three-pointer with about a minute left for OSU to take the lead, Jackson Fields hit a layup for West Virginia, and then Ohio State actually had a couple of chances there at the end, missed it, goes to overtime, the Buckeyes end up winning the game. That's a bad loss as well for West Virginia and the Big 12, so that was disappointing. Mississippi State beating Utah as well, not great. Now, if you want to find some good, Arizona State upset Santa Clara. Yes, upset. Santa Clara was the favorite in that game. And Bobby Hurley got ejected late in the first half. He got 2 technicals in the span of like 10 minutes. Arizona State was down by 17 at halftime. They come back to win the game. Colorado beats UTSA. Kansas State goes on the road and beats Creighton. That's a good win for K-State. They've now had a couple of solid wins after a 4-game losing streak. David Castillo had 19 points. Bashir had 18. K-State builds a solid lead, and they just basically hang on in the second half. They were up by 18 at halftime. They hang on in the second half. That's fine. They were, I mean, just absolutely lights out in the first half from three-point range, and they build up that lead, and they get a win. So it was a very, very good victory for a Kansas State team that has had an up-and-down early season so far. So I'll give K-State that much for how they played. KU, on the other hand, needed overtime and needed an all-time performance from Melvin Council Jr. He was amazing, and they needed a big game out of him to obviously beat NC State in overtime. Career-high 36 points, 9 3-pointers as KU edges out NC State by a final of 77-76. I mean, this guy had made just 5 of 27 threes coming into the game. He knocks down 9 in one game on Saturday. So, Darren Peterson, that's a whole other story right now. He had 17 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, but he checks out of the game with 2:15 left because of this lingering hamstring strain. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how this is going to play out. There's a lot of questions, obviously. People are wondering what exactly this is going to mean for KU and how this is all going to work. I just know I don't like it. It's the awkward place we find ourselves in covering this sport and talking about this sport. People want to obviously speculate the worst. They wonder whether or not this is something that is going to have long-term ramifications. Is it legit? Is it not? I'm not making any accusations. I just know KU cannot have the kind of season it wants to have if Darren Peterson's going to be hit and miss and stop and go. They just can't. It's they cannot get to where they want to get to. So now you got to sit back and you just got to wait and see how the whole thing plays out. But in the meantime, they get out of there with a victory, and you know, you got to be happy about that. The game of the day for the Big 12, though, number one Arizona blasting Alabama, 12th-ranked Alabama, 96-75. So this was a close game in the first half, and then it was obviously all Wildcats after that. They were amazing in the second half, outscoring Alabama by 23 points. You know, Coach Pete had to sit a lot of the first half because he had a couple of fouls. However, they got the second half going. Pete obviously stayed out of foul trouble, and they rolled to a victory. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Glad you're here. Please make sure you are subscribed to the channel, as always, as we talk Big 12 college basketball and college football. So the Wildcats are down by 2 points at halftime. They go on a 14-1 run, and from there, it is obviously all Arizona. It was a darn good showing and an impressive game for this team. You had Jaden Bradley pick up 14 points and 7 assists, haunting the former Crimson Tide program that he helped earn the top overall seed a couple of years ago. How about that? And Arizona beat their fifth-ranked opponent of the non-conference schedule. They've beaten UConn, Florida, Auburn, UCLA, and now Alabama. No one's got a better schedule, strength of schedule, and performance in the non-con than Arizona. They are worthy of being the number one team in the country. There's no doubt about it. And you think about the night that, you know, this team had in a tough road environment, trailing in the first half, and then going on an epic, epic run to start the second half. And it's like, man, this is exactly... And not that they needed another confidence boost, but if you're Arizona and you were looking for one, boy, you got one. And you had a balanced attack. You had good bench play as well. You had these guys hang in there while Pete was obviously injured. And that start of the second half was just absolutely fantastic. And it's exactly what this team needed. Get going. They take the lead at about, oh, geez, I don't know what it was, maybe the 18-minute mark early in the second half, and they were just off to the races from there. Alabama also went pretty ice cold in that second half. And you know what? That's okay. I mean, that's, you know, they were playing some good three-point defense as well. Alabama's a team that's got to hit the three. Arizona doesn't shoot the three. It's just not what Arizona does. Now, they did more so on Saturday night than we've seen them most of the season. They were okay, like 38% from three-point range. But Alabama's just bombs away. And they were 12 of 32, so about 38%. Alabama really's got to hit 40% from three to win their games. And Arizona crushed them on the boards, 52 to 32. They smoked them there. And that was obviously enormous and played a big role in this game. 22 offensive rebounds for Arizona. That's incredible. But that's the kind of team that they've got right now. And that's why they're the number one team in the country, and they really carried the Big 12 on Saturday in what was a so-so day for the league, with some bad, disappointing losses by Texas Tech, by Oklahoma State, by Cincinnati, by West Virginia, by Utah, Oklahoma State, if I didn't say them already. Arizona said, don't worry, guys, we got it. Hold my beer. We'll take care of this and beat Alabama. So great job by Arizona. Outstanding win. And that was a big day of basketball for the Big 12. You want to be here. You want to be subscribed. We've got much more coming your way throughout the college basketball season. It's bowl season, college football playoff. We're going to have it all covered at heartlandcollegesports.com. Make sure you're subscribed, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great day, and go Big 12.